This is continuing our class from last week, dealing with the ten luminous emanations by Rabbi Ashlag. And the way that works basically is Rabbi Ashlag reorganized a book by the Ari through Rabbi Chaim Vital called Etz Chaim. And he, as he rearranged that, we tend to read it every time we'll start the class on the section that we're in. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedulat Shemincha, Tatir, Tzerura, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagbeinu, Taharenu, No Ra, Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Dorshe Chuncha, Kirvavat, Shamrem, Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kav Shin, Barchem Tacharem, Rachame Sitkatcha, Tamid Gamlem, Betet Resh, Sadi Tav Gimel, Chasim Kadosh, Birov Tucha, Nael Adatach, Chetkuf Bet, Tet Nunayan, Yachid Ge'e, Lamcha Pene, Zogre Kedushata, Yud Gimel Lamed, Pezayan Kuf, Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Talumot, Shinkufal Tzadi Yotav. The Tav created the planet planet we call Lavana, the planet we call the moon, and the Chet that created the constellation Sartan, the Cancer, that is also the crab, and that also created the month of Tammuz. And in the eighth verse, we say in a whisper, but I'll say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. We are, as I said earlier, reading from Esther Sefirot, the Ten Luminous Emanations by Rabbi Ashlag, and we'll read his writings, and then Rabbi Ashlag's what is referred to as the inner light, or Panimi, is where most of our conversation will be tonight. Know that before the Ne'etzalim were emanated and the creatures created, an upper simple ore had filled the entire reality. There was no vacant place, such as an empty avir and a halal, but everything was filled with that simple, boundless light. It did not have a behina of Rosh or Sof, but it was all one simple ore, simple light, completely even, called Or En Sof, the endless light. So we left off at sentence 6 in the Or Panimi last time. Verse 7 is, This means that there is nothing but the lower ones can add to it by means of their actions. What Rabbi Ashlag is talking about is cause and effect. Everything in a level higher than you or us or wherever you are, everything in a higher level has impact and can affect the lower level. But the lower level has no ability to have impact in the higher level. A way of understanding that is dimensions. The dimension, a one-dimensional entity is a dot. A two-dimensional entity is a line. The dot is an effect of the line. It's a component of the line. But the dot cannot affect the line. It cannot change it. It cannot have in conversation with it. There's no way of relating to it. Feel free to ask any questions as they come up. The terms Rosh and Sof will be explained below. Rosh means head, Sof means end. And in this simple light, the Or and Sof, the endless light, the idea of simpleness, which is not clearly understood yet, the idea of simpleness, how can there be a beginning and an end? How can there be a head if everything is the same? There can never be something that we call beginning because it's the same as every other component aspect of what's there. And that's the beginning of an understanding of what is simple. I'm also reminding you from the teaching, and I'll need to remind us almost every class. Rabbi Ashlag cautioned us. We're talking about spiritual things. We're talking about things in the dimensions above us. But understand that those spiritual things cannot be understood. We're using physical words and describing what we know as physical things, but that is not really what we're talking about. So as Section 6 had started to talk about last week, the idea of air and the empty space, we all know what those things mean in our physical world. But we don't know what they mean when referring to a spiritual idea. What is empty space in spirituality? What is empty air? What is air in spirituality? And we defined what air was as relating to the light of Chokmah, the light of wisdom, and the light of mercy, the light of Chasadim. Number 9, meaning without discriminating small and great, everything is even. Another verse that is trying to explain the concept of simple. If everything is simple, all of the light is the same. There's no grade, there's no nuance, there's no measurement. An example, you have a $100 bill. That's a measurement of an amount of money. Is there a $1,000 bill? Is there $200 bills? If there's $200 bills, then they're not the same because there's one and two. All of this is not part of the endless world. The endless world before the Tzimtzum Aleph was simple. Everything is the same. There is no difference between any aspect. So me and you, me and the computer, that's separation. That's not simple. Verse 10. where there is no zachut and aviyut by which the degrees are set. These discriminations were established only with the renewal of the Tzimtzum. Aviyut is physicality. But what does physicality deal with as a spiritual concept? Zachut is spirituality. And how does that relate to physicality? In the endless world, everything is there. And what Rabbi Ashlag is saying here is that there is no spirituality and no physicality, and which there's no rules by which one becomes the other. There's no way of dealing with these concepts when we're speaking of the simple light that is everywhere and everything, all at the same time. It's like if we take a candle and walk outside in the noontime of the day, you cannot see the light of the candle. It's meaningless because the light of the sun is so overwhelming. Wherever that simple light existed, everything was there, but nobody could sense it. Nobody could see it. Nobody could feel it. There was no ability to perceive differences between one and the other. Potentially, they agreed. They're there. The differences are there. There's $200, $100, a millionaire, all the different senses. They're there. But you can't sense it because the light is so overwhelmingly simple. So overwhelmingly, this is what you can sense and nothing else. When I say you, again, am I talking about me and you and somebody else? Because in the endless world, the simpleness of the light, the uniformity of the light, but you can't use the word uniformity because the light has differences. Excuse me for the interruption. Everybody's there? Okay. The lights.
Go back.
The light is simple. I'm sorry, did somebody say something? Okay. The light is simple. Meaning, it's there, it's always the same, there's no change in the light, and yet there are, within the light, the potential for separation, the potential for something to be different than something else. But that difference can never be manifested, can never be sensed, by anything outside of the light, because the light is everywhere. And that's the idea that there's no room for perfection. There's no room for change in the endless world. Everything is fulfilled. Any desire by those potential entities is fulfilled by the light. It can't be understood. It's a paradox. This is what Rabbi Ashlag is trying to get across to us. Chris, are you dropping out for some reason? What's happening, Chris? I'm not hearing you without your speaker.
Drop dummy twice.
I can't hear you. Can you use your microphone, please?
Something happened.
Yeah. Is it working now?
Yeah, when you use the microphone, it's fine.
Is it working?
Yes.
No. Okay.
Are you on now? Did you have a question?
Yeah.
What
no, I couldn't figure out what the heck was going on. I kept fading out.
You're all right now?
It blacked out on me twice.
I hear you.
Yeah, it's working.
Okay. Give me a second.
Okay.
All right. We should ask, since we have no attainment in En Sof, how then do we know him by name? After all, each name designates the attainment that we attain in him, according to the definition of that name. We cannot excuse ourselves by saying that the name merely points to the negation of attainment. For then we should have named him unobtainable. The thing is that the name indicates the entire difference between En Sof and all of the Olamot, between the endless and the worlds beneath it. The Tzimtzum took place after En Sof. Thus, in every place this force awakens, it restricts the light, and that ends the Heara in that place. The Heara is an impression. When the light restricts itself, which is what Tzimtzum means, when the light pulls back into itself, there's a Heara, there's an impression that is left. There's no disappearance in spirituality. So everything is always there. As things change, they can't ever change, because there's no disappearance in spirituality. But they're not the same measurement if we were to put a number to the strength of the light. An impression is not the item itself. If I take a paper and run it through a copier, I have the original and I have the copy. They're exactly the same. But they're not. There's this little bit of difference. A slight difference. If I make 100 copies, one after the other, and then I compare that 100th copy to the first one, I'm going to find more significant difference. If I did 1,000,000 copies, I probably couldn't see the letters on the page. This is the concept of a Heara, an impression. It's the same thing, but it's not the same thing in grade, in measurement, in strength. When the light withdrew into itself, the concept of Tzimtzum, when the light withdrew into itself, it left an impression of its original essence. Because there's no disappearance in spirituality. When in spirituality, if you're talking about change, you can only be talking about a Heara. Something becomes something else. Something causes an effect. That effect causes another effect. The first effect is still in existence. The first effect is no longer called effect. It's called Hera of effect, impression of effect, because it's moved, it's changed. That change can be measured, maybe, but it can be certainly sensed and felt, which is a form of measurement. This is the understanding that Rabbi Ashlag is putting to us with this sentence. The name indicates the difference between the endless and all of the worlds believed beneath it. The endless caused the worlds beneath it. If the endless changed, there was a tzimtzum, a withdrawal of the simple light, leaving a space, an empty space. And that empty space is still the endless. But that empty space is a hera of this, of the endless. It's an impression of the endless.
May I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Hi, it's Jack. So sometimes I turn my video camera off because, you know, I'm eating some ice cream or something. I don't want it to disturb the class.
No.
But my question is that, I think a point can affect a line. If a point is part of a line, it anchors it. The line must go through it.
No.
I mean, I thought.
No. Jack.
If it doesn't, then they're not related to each other. But I'm just saying, I thought that the lower world can affect the upper world.
I appreciate the question. I don't mean to shorten it. A point is one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. One dimension cannot sense two dimensions. There's no ability in the one. When you say there is a point that is now an anchor, you are describing a two-dimensional description of a one-dimensional item. But the one-dimensional item cannot describe a two-dimensional situation.
Definitely.
Is it clear?
Yeah. I thought that the lower world could have some effect on the upper world. The upper world may... I thought there was some relationship that one could affect.
There is, but we have to understand that once we understand the other concepts. There'll be about 200 different concepts before we get to understanding how the lower worlds impact the upper worlds. Yes, they do, but it's because the lower worlds have consciousness in the other worlds. It's not because the basic rule is no effect can affect a cause. A cause creates an effect. The effect cannot change the cause. It cannot affect the cause. But in our world, we have the ability to change the upper worlds through our actions. That's what prayer is about. But when you really understand prayer, what it is is you are changing. And because you have changed, the upper worlds now impact and change the way they deal with you. So if you wanted to be a millionaire and you pray to be a millionaire, you weren't a millionaire because there was a reason you're not a millionaire. And now that you've prayed, you have changed yourself, cleansed yourself, and now you have the ability as a vessel to handle the $1 million. And that's why the Creator gives you that. But your prayer is not really affecting the Creator. That's just one example.
bringing you further into alignment, so to speak, rather
exactly.
than affecting you.
Very good word.
Okay.
Also in this discussion, we should ask, since we have no attainment in Ensof, how do we know him by name? The concept of a name is very important to understand. A name is a metaphor and actually defines, limits, creates the item named. Now, I used a lot of different words because it's helpful to try and understand it from each of those perspectives. If I say the word creator, I am not defining, limiting the creator. I am saying there is an action that something does that creates. So the name creator is not a name as we are talking here. But the name Hanoch defines me, limits me, mirrors me. It's a metaphor for who I am. The fact that the name Hanoch doesn't put all of the different that I weigh so much, that I'm so tall, that I have brown eyes. All of that is within the name Hanoch. Even if someone hears the name Hanoch and doesn't, has no ability to sense that, the name itself has all of those attributes built into it, just as I have all of those attributes built into me. Hence, any Sof and Siyum in any Heira, in any Partsuf, comes solely from the Tzimtzum. Moreover, all the beings and their various fillings in the Olamot come about and are innovated because of that Sof and Siyum. The endless world went through a change called Tzimtzum. The endless world is now a Heara, an impression of what it once was. And yet there's never a change in spirituality, no disappearance. So there is this Heara. And that Heara allows the potential entities, the potential aspects in the endless world to now be sensed. Sorry for the interruption. So that they can now be sensed, those potentials. Who are the potential entities? You and me, blade of grass, an angel, all of these different levels of consciousness that made up the potential in the endless world after the Tzimtzum can now be sensed because there's no simple light veiling their actions, veiling their essence. It is called endless because the Tzimtzum does not apply there, indicating that there isn't any ending there whatsoever. With that, we can deduce that this light is Pashut and completely even for one depends on the other. What is Rabbi Ashlag saying here? He's saying that the Tzimtzum took place, and there is a Heira, an impression, and at the same aspect, there is no change. It's endless. There is no diminishment through the Tzimtzum. He's saying the Tzimtzum is an illusion. It happens, but it's not real. What is the definition of real versus illusion? When something changes, it's an illusion.
Sorry, one second. I'm going to have to go for the evening, but thank you very much.
Take care, Jack.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Yes. Something, when something changes, it's an illusion. When something is constant, it is closer to the Creator. It is the Creator. And I can't make that statement, but it's closer to the Creator. Anytime you see or sense something, you are interacting with it. You are changing it. It's an illusion. Because in the endless world, there is only simple light. The reason for creation was the revelation of his names and appellations. This is the second verse of the Etz Chaim Reorganized, the Esther Sefirot. When it rose upon his simple ratzon, desire, to create the worlds and emanate the creatures, to bring the perfection of his deeds, his names, and appellations to light, which was the reason of the creation of the worlds. Now Rabbi Ashlag is going to explain what it was just said. We're now again in Or Panimi, inner light. We need not wonder how there is a ratzon, a desire in the endless world. Who is higher than any notion to which we can say rose upon his simple desire? You should comprehend what has been said above, that in every creature there is by necessity a will to receive the Shefa from the Creator. However, in En Sof it is a simple ratzon, a simple desire, because he is one and his name is one. He is one represents fulfillment, represents light. His name is one represents vessel. Is there a difference between the fulfillment and the vessel? Is there a difference between fulfillment and desire? In the endless world, there is no difference. In our world, we have desire that has no fulfillment. That's called lack. In the endless world, there is no desire that isn't fulfilled. Therefore, there's no difference.
Question.
Yes.
So, when the endless light was separated, they created the darkness. They created samsara.
When the Creator extended itself into light, light created the vessel to reveal itself. Without the vessel, spirituality cannot be seen or sensed. If I don't have a vessel, I cannot sense something spiritual, something above me. A ghost needs a body of light to be seen. If it didn't have a body of light, it would just be an entity that isn't sensed. Have I answered the question, Bob? Or do we need to spend some time on it?
I don't want to distract the class in this topic.
All right. The light in the endless is called He, and the will to receive is called His name, and they are simple unity without any form of separation. Without any form. They just are in unity. However, we should not resemble the unity and separation discussed here with corporeal unity and separation that are distinguished by motion, nearness, and distance. That is because the spiritual essence does not take up any space. There is no physical distance between any of the spirituality. The endless world is on a dime, on a point. The endless world is the point. The endless world is the universe. If you look at a point, perceive a point, you perceive the totality. Everything is in the point. What Rabbi Ashlag is saying here is, be careful you don't perceive what I'm writing here from a physical presence. It's not what I mean. Having said that, you should know that separation in spirituality occurs only by means of Shinui Tzura. Thus, if one spiritual thing acquires an additional Tzura, that is unlike its current tzura, it stops being one and becomes two separate entities. Their distance from each other is measured by the oppositeness of their forms. In the spiritual world, there is no physical distance. Everything is in the point. Everything is unified in the point. But if a spiritual essence changes and becomes something else, it's still in that point, but it's no longer simple. It's now separated. And the degree of the separation is defined by how different is it from the other. The greatest difference is the idea of sharing and receiving. There can be no greater difference in spirituality than those two concepts. Sharing means to put away from myself. Receiving means to bring into myself. Spiritually, those are the most opposite that we can be. Those are two ends of the endless world. But we can't understand that because the endless world is unified. There's no separation. The spiritual world the endless world has everything and nothing. It has everything because there's an ability to sense it, because there's a vessel, a way of revealing the light, revealing the fulfillment. And therefore it has everything. At the same moment, at the same understanding, it has nothing. Because the vessels cannot be sensed because the fulfillment is overwhelming. Using the example of the candle in the sunlight. Everything and nothing is separation. Everything and nothing means there are different aspects. We cannot understand this paradox. The endless world represents a paradox. The sentence is he and his name are one. That's the name, the metaphorical name of the endless world. He being fulfillment, his name being vessel. Vessel is the receiver. He, the light, fulfillment is the sharer. They are unified. They are separated. We cannot understand this paradox. This is what Rabbi Ashlag is saying. Separation in spirituality happens because they have changed their sense, their form. Separation in spirituality, I have added something, I have diminished something. That creates separation in spirituality. But it can only be sensed when it's in a vessel. Just as corporeal entities connect and separate through proximity and remoteness, so spiritual entities connect and separate according to their difference and equivalence of form. A spiritual entity, a thought, one, becomes a thought, two. The thought, one, never disappears. The thought, two, is separate from one. How distant they are from each other is not measured in physical distance, but in how far from each other, how different are they from each other. We now have described two entities, a one and a two, a consciousness of one and a consciousness of two. And two starts to think of itself as one. Therefore, one and one become one. They become unified again, and there is no more two. They have become unified. In the spiritual world, this is how it works. In the physical world, it doesn't work like that. In the physical world, one and two are always different. And I can move them further apart or bring them together, one on top of the other, and unify them. In the spiritual world, their distance is measured by how different they are.
Question. question.
Yes.
How can one and two be different in the spiritual world if they are one in the spiritual world?
That is the paradox associated with the idea of the endless world. He and his name are one. He is the fulfillment, which is totally different than his name, which is the vessel. And yet, we're saying in the sentence, in the name, they are one. It's a paradox. We don't understand it. It is real. They're unified. But how can they be unified? They're two separate things. One is sharing and one is receiving. Now you will understand the meaning of the aforementioned words, he is one and his name one, and the simple unity we are so meticulous about in En Sof. Indeed, this unity is of the wonders of his almightiness. The paradox we should be in awe of. The fact that the Creator could create this paradox is an amazing thought, an amazing issue, an amazing event. The fact that we can't understand the paradox does not diminish the miracle of it, the amazingness of it. We only have about 10 minutes left, and we're never going to finish this section, so I'm thinking I'm going to call it to a close for the time being. We'll pick it up next week again at 7. Chris, you're there? Okay.
I'm here.
We're going to call it to a close. Any questions?
No, I don't have any questions. The only other thing is I'll be leaving toward your direction Friday morning.
So, say again about Friday?
Even in early Friday morning, heading your direction.
Ask if he's headed your direction.
Oh, you're coming Friday?
Yeah, I'm leaving early Friday morning to come that way.
Okay.
Wait.
Hold a second.
My girlfriend is going to be here. Can he postpone his trip after she comes? Yeah. He's welcome to stay here. He can just leave it back.
Oh, Chris, the people I'm staying with, Bob, who you may or may not be able to see, he's asking that you delay that until next week, because his girlfriend is here. This is Bob, and his girlfriend is here, but if you come on Monday, he's saying you're welcome to stay over and, you know, we have a sleeping bag on the floor, and we'll be able to put you up. So,
I don't need a place to be put up because my kids are in Napa. Napa, Idaho, yeah. They live there, so that's where I'd be staying.
Yeah, no, but you're planning to come for about a week, right?
Yeah, but I've got a place to stay over there, and I'd be staying with them, but then I could see you when it's convenient, you know, right. For you.
Right. No. This weekend won't work, basically. So if you could delay your coming until Monday, or if you come Friday, spend it with your kids. But we're not going to be available until Monday.
Give me a
Roger. Got it.
She's actually staying.
I understand.
She's staying.
She's staying. Oh, she's leaving Tuesday.
Tuesday or Wednesday, yeah.
Tuesday morning?
I don't know. Tuesday evening.
Better time based on the new information is next Wednesday to whenever.
Any time after next Wednesday. All day?
Anytime.
Yeah, when you are ready, just call me on my cell phone. I don't know if you have my cell phone number or not.
Yeah, we've spoken on the phone.
You can let me know. The cell phone, not the home phone.
Okay, well, I'll get it from you. You can email me the phone number.
Okay. That's all.
So, okay. We'll have a good week. I did want to point out the class Thursday night at 10 for Joseph HaSadiq, Saturday night at 10 for Rashi, and Sunday night at 10 for Rosh Chodesh.
Okay.
So please keep those in mind. They won't all be on Ubu, but most of them will be.
I'll probably have to go to a conference call on that, not through the computer.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Shalom.